This podcast features AI-generated narration. For more insight, listen to the episode titled Why We Use AI Narration. In today's true story, we embark on a mundane train ride that Tate took from New York City. Amidst a carriage filled with strangers, a chance encounter unfolds that reveals the layers of our humanity, often taken for granted and overlooked in the passage of our daily lives, where compassion and skepticism regularly overlap. So join us on a tale we call The Tracks of Empathy. Welcome to Pen to Pen, a storytelling podcast, where every other Wednesday we bring you stories, both factual and fiction, solely written by Tate Basildon, a private chef and memoir author, and narrated using an AI text-to-speech service. Before we begin today's tale, we want to take a moment to thank the following listeners for their generous 5-star reviews. H.K. Cernet, Loving the Podcast, Krista Mischel, Three Boys, C-Draw 18, and Big Stock 2001. Thank you all for your support. Now, on to our story. I was mesmerized by the rhythmic thud of the train's metal wheels against the equidistant joist of the steel tracks as I looked out onto the vibrant fall foliage, the bright reds and orange hues accentuated in the late afternoon sun. It was not yet rush hour, so my train car was only half full of people heading out of the city. Everyone was looking at their phone or computer screens, reading papers, or listening to something through their headphones, eyes closed or staring blankly out at the passing landscape. The peacefulness of the quiet ride was punctuated by the woman in the seat obliquely opposite from mine, chatting on her phone so loudly that I think she believed the person on the other end of the call could not hear her over the dull thump of the electrified train's wheels.
Oh my God, did she really say that? I can't believe she was so rude. Oh my word.
I contemplated putting on my headphones and listening to an audiobook to drown out her conversation when the compartment door toward the back opened, allowing the sounds of the metal on metal and rushing wind to enter the car, making the woman speak even louder.
Well, I would not have that from her, that is for sure. You should have told her something, seriously.
I took my headphones out of the case, about to place them in my ears when someone spoke from behind me.
Excuse me, everyone. Can anyone spare a few dollars?
I saw a young man in his late teens or early 20s. He looked dirty, and his clothes, although filthy and disheveled, looked new. Everyone else who glanced back returned to their screens and pages and ignored the young man.
Please? Anyone? I don't have enough to pay the train fare.
No one looked back at him and ignored his plea, as if he were just another part of the train's ambience. I pulled out my wallet to see if I had any cash when the woman on the phone who answered her call glanced toward me.
You aren't considering giving him any money, are you?
I ignored her and waved the man to me.
Seriously?
The young man moved toward me quickly, but I could see the hesitation in his eyes. How much do you need? I asked, observing his clothes. His clothing was new, and from his appearance, it looked like he had fallen onto grass and mud and rolled down a hill. His new boat shoes were muddy, but had no scuff marks. His pristine white socks only had a few mud splashes, indicating that his disarrayed appearance was not his norm.
I am getting off at Bedford Hills and only need $6 more.
I knew Bedford Hills. It was one of the wealthiest towns in New York, and I highly doubted he was getting off at that station to garner drugs. There was more to his story, but I did not pry. I only have a 20, I said as I handed it to him.
Wow, sir, thank you so much. I will bring back your change.
Keep it, so you can get a taxi home.
Thanks, but I'm good to get home.
He hurried to the door and left our car.
Well, I can't believe you fell for that. He's only going to buy more drugs or alcohol. You could see he is an addict.
I ignored her as I pushed my wallet back into my pocket. I wanted to tell her my views on charity, real charity, but refrained, knowing she wanted an argument.
Next stop, Bedford Hills? Bedford Hills, next stop?
The train pulled into the station, and I looked out the window to see the young man walking toward the exit of the platform. He stopped at my window and mouthed, "Thank you," as he clasped his hands in gratitude and hurried away.
Well, so much for him giving you back your change.
I ignored her even more, put my headphones in my ears, and pretended to listen to something on my phone. I didn't care that he didn't bring my change. I gave him the 20 and told him to keep it. It was a gift. And a true gift is given without stipulation. A true gift is released from you to the next person. and whatever they do with it after it leaves your hands is not your business.
Would the person that gave that young boy the money to pay for his train ticket please make yourself known to me? Thank you.
A few minutes later, the compartment door opened, and I heard the passengers at the back directing the conductor to the front, where I sat. The woman turned back to me with an expression that said, "You are a gullible idiot." I think she and everyone expected me to be reprimanded.
Which one of you gave that boy money?
The woman pointed happily at me, expecting to hear the conductor rip into me. I looked at him and silently acknowledged that I had given him the money.
Here you go.
The conductor handed me a piece of paper and some money.
He asked me to give you your change and his number. He said to call him, and he will get the $6 back to you.
Thanks.
What's his story anyway?
He got mugged in the city, and they took his wallet and phone, and he had no way to get home. He borrowed my phone, as no one would let him use theirs, and he called his mother to pick him up at the station. That was very generous of you, sir. No one on the train would give him any money. He was able to get $5 off of someone before he boarded, and you gave him the rest he needed. I told him he did not have to pay, but he insisted that he pay his way.
The woman quickly turned to avoid my eyes as the conductor moved off.
That was so nice of him.
What a generous man.
I wanted to turn and give the hypocrites, the same people who refused to help the young man because of his appearance, a piece of my mind. But I kept on my headphones and continued staring out of the window until it was my stop. We all judge people, whether we think we do or not. I try not to judge a person by their appearance, but rather by their actions and my intuition. I knew the young man was in trouble, and it was not my place to ask him what that was, but it was my place as a human to help another human in distress. We should also keep our opinions to ourselves. My wife and I live by the motto, if what I am doing does not directly affect you or harm someone else, then keep out of it, and vice versa. In a world where appearances are now the foundation by which people make decisions, remember that appearances can be deceitful and cloud our judgment. How often do you bypass the opportunity to make a difference in someone's life simply because of a facade? Do we truly know anyone's story? When faced with skepticism and compassion, which one should you choose? Hopefully, before you judge the person sitting on the sidewalk with a plea for help written on a cardboard cutout, remember that you don't know their history. And if you do decide to give them some money, do so willingly and without limitation. If you suspect that they will buy alcohol or drugs with it, and you do not want to help perpetuate actions such as these, then offer to buy them a sandwich. It is also easy to say that people have a personal responsibility to take care of themselves. But until you step in and walk in someone else's shoes, you don't know if they can pull themselves up from where they are. And for those who argue that stopping to help a stranger could put you in danger, you need to assess the situation, as with everything in life, and decide if it is safe. And yet, others may argue that helping out one person does not stop the systemic problem of poverty overall. To them, I say that poverty has existed since the invention of money, and no one has been able to stop it for thousands of years. When do they think they will come up with the solution? The purpose of life as humans is not to judge others who occupy this planet with us, but to show compassion and love to everyone and everything. Thank you for being a part of the PandaPen community. Please rate, review, and follow us. Also, share this podcast with your friends and family. If you enjoyed this story and wish access to the transcript or have any comments, you can find links in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in. We wish you all the best. And until we meet again, remember, stories never end. They only take a break. Until next time, keep the tales alive. Pan to Pen, where a chef trades the sizzle of pans for the power of the pen, is written, produced, and edited by Tate Basildon, who holds the copyright herein.